Did you know a 2018 study showed half of prenatal vitamins tested had unacceptable levels of heavy metals? I'm Kat, mother of three and founder of Ritual. When I was 4 months pregnant, I couldn't find a prenatal I could trust, so I created my own. Ours is made traceable, third-party tested for heavy metals, and recently earned the Purity Award from the Clean Label Project. But don't just take my word for it. Get 25% off at ritual.com/podcast. Have you heard about the 2018 study that showed half of prenatal vitamins tested had unacceptable levels of heavy metals? No? Well, now you have. I'm Kat, mother of three and founder of Ritual, the company making traceability the new standard in the supplement industry. I remember staring at my prenatal vitamins and finding all these things I was trying to avoid: high amounts of heavy metals, synthetic colorants, and unnecessary ingredients. So, at 4 months pregnant, I quit my job and started Ritual because I believe that all women deserve to know what they're putting in their bodies and why. I'm so proud of our prenatal vitamin. The ingredients are 100% traceable. It's third-party tested for microbes and heavy metals and recently received the Purity Award from the Clean Label Project. You see, we trace like a mother because, let's be honest, no one cares quite like a mother. But don't just take my word for it. Trace for yourself with 25% off at ritual.com/prenatal.
Thank you for seeing me on such short notice. It's still happening.
The visions?
Yeah, not just the visions. It's also this feeling. Even about things I know are right in front of me, it's like it's pointing me toward back then.
Toward your past. As I mentioned before, it's not uncommon for people whose psychoses are controlled to feel anxiety about their symptoms returning. Is it possible your fear of the past might be a fear of your illness?
No. No, that's the problem. I'm not worried that I'm ill. I'm worried that I've never been ill. And that's why all of this is happening. Travis coming, Natalie, and now Misty's here too. It's like it sent them here to show me.
To show you what?
That it was real. And that I wasn't the only one who felt it out there. It was all of us. It was a part of us.
What is it, Lottie?
The power of that place. The God of that place. Terrible things in its name. And I thought that when we were rescued that we left it there, but now I realize we brought it back with us.
Everybody, welcome to our podcast. I'm Wendy.
And I'm Daphne.
And I'm Penny.
And this is Yellow Jackets WTF, episode 27.
This episode, we're covering Yellow Jackets season 2, episode 6, Key.
We hope you're listening to the listener buzz episodes. We have new theories that come up, things that we've missed, and news about the show. The one for the episode should be out by Wednesday morning.
Yeah, there's definitely been some creative theories that have come out of recent feedback. So this show just lends itself to
crazy theorizing.
Yeah. Our listeners have really interesting stuff to contribute, and like, they do. I want to hear it.
Yeah.
I want to know more about how you dress a deer in the wild or other gross pieces of information like that.
Yeah, it's been fun listening to what people have to say or reading their notes. I'm excited as we continue down this road of season two to learn more about what people have to say about it. I can't believe that this is already episode six and we only have three more.
I know.
It's crazy.
It's going so fast, but I also feel like they've covered a lot of ground in a short period of time.
All right, so do we want to start out with our fucked up moment of the week? Daphne. Ooh.
Okay, I don't think, to me, I have to say that Shauna's dream state, coming out of the bedroom and finding out everyone was eating her baby, is definitely the fucked up moment of the week. They all looked animalistic while they were doing it. I almost thought they were going to attack and eat her too.
Except Coach Ben, who just looked deeply ashamed.
Yeah, there was a few of them that looked ashamed. Yeah.
But it looked like he had eaten.
Oh, yeah. He had blood on his face and stuff.
Yeah. Travis, Nat. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. That was gross. What were they humming?
It was that song, right? It was like almost like a lullaby.
Yeah.
I watched it on my PC, so I couldn't Shazam anything to see what songs they were.
Don't worry, I got that covered.
Okay, I figured you did, Penny.
But the humming, so do I. I got some notes on that,
too. It sounded like some kind of lullaby. I think it was in a couple different places.
Yeah.
I personally did not think that they were going to go there. Even though it's a dream, I still think, and we're podcasting right now before the episode has aired or streamed, and I keep seeing people talking about Shauna's baby, and I think nobody is prepared for this, even though I do think in what really happened, I think, is probably the best way they could have handled it. But the dream sequence, I'm not sure people are ready for that.
It's incredibly disturbing.
Yes.
It is. I don't know how you would be ready for it.
Yeah. And I was surprised they went there with it. And I'm a little bit apprehensive about the backlash they will probably get.
I think if they were going to go there, at least it was very brief.
And it is
so
a dream.
Impactful. Yeah.
Yeah. And they didn't show, like, body parts. Right?
No.
It was just blood
no.
on people's mouths. Yeah. I think if they had shown more, it would have been incredibly crass.
Yeah.
And,
and
they would have gotten some deserved, backlash. But the way they handled it was as tasteful as you can be when it comes to baby cannibalism.
Oh my gosh.
I don't know what yardstick to use.
Key words from Penny, tasteful baby cannibalism.
I mean, we had baby cannibalism threat on Walking Dead, and they actually showed the baby in question, but she didn't end up getting et. Thank God.
But that wasn't really cannibalism, right?
Well, the Terminus people remember when that guy had Judith?
Okay.
And he was like, oh, I bet this baby will taste really tender or something like that.
Oh, yeah,
really
creepy.
Yeah. Oh, my God.
Yeah.
I think had blocked that out of my memory for probably that reason, because it is so disturbing.
I'm happy to bring it back to you.
Great.
What about you, Penny? Anything different or
slightly different? Earlier in the childbirth scene, I thought it was really fucked up when first Mari says, I hope Shauna doesn't die, which of course freaks Shauna out. And then Lottie is like, just let your pain open you to this moment. And I was like, what the fuck, Lottie? Like, I would have, like, if I were Shauna, I would have decked her.
Mm-hmm.
Like, what a weird and unnecessary and, like cruel thing to say to somebody in that moment. Like, I thought that was really fucked up.
Sometimes Lottie doesn't have a filter.
Yeah.
Things just come out and they make sense to her, but they make no sense to anyone else.
She does seem to be making it up as she goes along.
Yeah.
I think that's completely true. Yeah. I mean, and Ty was like, I know you mean well, but just like, stop. Back the fuck up.
Yeah. Shauna's had this thing with Lottie for a while where she, I think part of the focus of the dream sequence might have been because Shauna has just been so concerned. I think that Lottie was either going to take the baby or something. Like,
yeah, the fixation that Lottie had on the baby was creepy. And that scene where, like, I couldn't tell what was going on when Lottie had the baby and Shauna inside the dream, like, woke up and saw Lottie with the baby and Lottie's like, he needs to feed. Was she giving it, like, blood or something in the dream? I couldn't tell what was going on.
I thought she was breastfeeding.
Or was she trying to breastfeed?
I thought she was breastfeeding it.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
God, but it's really weird to say,
yeah,
he needs to feed. Usually you would say he needs to eat.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. He needs to feed makes it sound like he's a creature.
Yeah.
Yes. Oh, man. We haven't even got into the nitty-gritty yet. I know.
Should we get started with our points?
Well, Wendy, what was your fucked up moment?
Oh, it was definitely the baby. The baby scene. The baby eating dream. Yeah, I was like, I didn't think they were going to go there, even in a dream.
And yet they did.
And at first I thought that episode was going to air on Mother's Day, but it's not.
I did too.
Oh, man.
Yeah.
It would have if they, no, it wouldn't
No, it was a week earlier, but I just got my week screwed up and
Thank goodness. Oh my gosh.
I think Game of Thrones did that one time.
They did.
It was like Shireen's death or something like that on Mother's Day. Yeah, it was pretty crazy. Yeah.
Oh, God, that's the worst one.
I know.
We've seen a lot of, like, horrible childbirth scenes lately, I feel.
Oh,
like,
House of the Dragon
had several.
Yeah.
Oh, man.
I liked it, though. Yeah. I really don't mind, like, I didn't mind those parts. I guess you just don't see enough of that in TV today.
Well, I think that Sophie Nalice really just was incredible in this episode.
Yeah, she really sold, like, the fear and then the heartache. At the end when she was like, "Why can't you hear him? Why can't you? I can still hear him. Why can't you hear him?"
Oh, that really was just tragic.
It really broke my heart. And everybody just sort of, like, started to walk away from her and leave her there. And I was like, oh, this poor girl.
I think she feels somewhat isolated anyway, because I think Natalie and Ty are really the only two that she trusts right now.
Yeah. She lost Jackie, who, you know, they had problems, but Jackie was her best friend.
Yeah.
Agreed. All right. Daphne, what's your first point?
Okay, so to start off, I'm just going to throw this out there. I pretty much call it, it all comes together. And it's basically the sequence of events that brings everyone to Cherry Hill, New York, off Route 19, to this great retreat. Misty going in and infiltrating the cults. And her phone being taken away. I mean, you know Misty. She's not going to put up with that. I mean, she's very resourceful.
Yeah.
And she gets in, infiltrates, but then she starts, you know, she knows that the phone isn't for personal calls because that's what her cult friend told her. But she goes and uses it anyway, and she starts this phone chain of events that starts with her calling Thaisa, then Thaisa calling Shauna, and it ends with everyone coming. So you know that something big is going to go down.
Yeah.
It's a question of if we're going to see it in the next episode or if it's going to be the season finale or when we're actually going to see it. You know, Misty, she knows how to bring people together. She can talk them into coming even if they say no at the beginning. Because Thaisa, I don't think, wanted anything to do with it. But Misty started with those, you know, that phone call. And the announcement that Lottie's not in a mental institution. And she's running this wellness retreat. That seemed to surprise Thaisa. It also surprised Shauna when she found out. Because I think they were all, even Misty, I think they were all under this impression that Lottie was catatonic and in Switzerland somewhere, in, you know, in some sort of an institution. But the truth is she's been out of the institution for a while. And we know that Misty didn't keep tabs on where she was. Probably because she didn't think that she needed to.
Or Lottie used all of her resources and power to fly under the radar in a way that Misty, even with her skills, wasn't able to keep track of.
Yeah, doesn't that seem crazy, knowing what we know of Misty?
Yeah.
And I wonder how old the cult is. Like, it seems recent, right?
Yeah.
But, like, not super. I mean, they're pretty well established. They have their space all worked out. They got their costumes, their jewelry.
Yeah.
The beehives. Like,
but it sounds like she was a mess not too long ago. But yeah, we don't know, I guess.
Yeah, we don't really know.
We don't have a timeline of that. And I'm hoping someday we'll have a timeline of how things played out. But there were two things when they all arrived. There were two things that stuck out at me. One is Van's expression when you see her looking at Lottie.
Yeah. Her whole body language changed.
Yeah. And it's not one of, oh, I'm so glad to see you. It's almost like she's afraid, or it's bringing back all of the trauma because they did things. I mean, Thaisa, I think it was Thaisa, that talked about the things that they did out there being so bad. Or it could, no, actually it was Natalie, not Thaisa.
And Lottie.
Yeah.
Lottie talked about it to her, the shrink, if the shrink is a real
thing. They did some really bad things. We still don't know what they are, but the more they talk about it, the more I'm trying to imagine what they could have done that's worse than the things we've already been coming up with.
Well, yeah. They haven't killed anybody.
Right?
I mean, Crystal died, but that was kind of on the fence. I, you know.
Yeah.
She fell.
That was an accident.
That was an accident, yeah.
Remember in season one when they were waiting for the blackmailer and I think it was Shauna said, like, oh, I don't want to go to jail for murder. And Nat's like, we've done a lot worse. So
no, I think it was that Ty said, we've all done worse, and Nat said, speak for yourself, like she hadn't done it. That's why I kind of thought Nat.
Oh, that's not how I remember it. Now I have to go back and watch.
Yeah, and that's why when they ate Jackie, which sounds so weird, they ate Jackie, I was surprised that I thought there was going to be a division with that, and I thought Nat was going to be on the other side, but she wasn't. Not that I think eating somebody to survive is wrong, because I don't. But I remember Nat was like, speak for yourself, as if she hadn't done the things that they had done.
Yeah. That does sound
But
right.
Obviously she's done something that haunts her.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Lots of things.
Well, and the final thing from the end of the episode, here we are, we're at the beginning of our episode, but we're talking about the end, is the overhead shot that we're left with of the layout of the retreat is in,
it's in the shape. I didn't catch that until the second watch.
Me too, second watch.
Yeah, it's in the shape of the symbol.
Yep.
That
because
can't be
I couldn't figure out why they were doing that overhead shot. So in the second one, I'm like, wait, where are they? And what's happened? I still didn't get it. And then I was like, wait.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's there. I mean, so Lottie seems to believe, and everybody in the cult seems to believe, that that symbol is some kind of protective, like, force for good. And so laying out the compound in the form of the symbol, probably Lottie thought that was, like, you know, promoting wellness or something. It's a weird choice, though.
It definitely is. So anyway, that is what I wanted to draw attention to. From awesome. My first point.
How about you, Penny?
I'll add on to that a little bit. I really enjoyed Misty arriving at the cult, and when whoever that guy was who was checking her in, she had to empty all of her pockets, and among the things that she emptied into that beautiful gold bowl were brass knuckles, mm-hmm. handcuffs, the jar of honey, a tiny jar of jam, tiny binoculars that I think might be opera glasses, mm-hmm. A parrot, either change purse or keychain. It was like beaded and
sparkly. Yeah, it looked like a keychain, I thought.
Yeah. A bottle of lotion that clearly came from the hotel. It was like little. A toothbrush in a case. A ring. I think a packet of NyQuil. Mm. And then a syringe and a vial. Was so creepy. Her keys. And then, of course, her phone with the Walter text messages.
Yes.
And she's, you know, she's talking to that guy in her usual Misty voice, right? And then he's like, and then Lottie comes out and he's like, oh, I want you to meet. And Lottie says, Misty. And then I loved how Misty went, hello, Charlotte. In this, like, completely different voice that we've never really heard from Misty before. And then that whole conversation between Misty and Lottie, that was like a new version of Misty, right? She was like hostile to Lottie. Mm-hmm. And really aggressive, right? She's like, I think the salient question is, what are you doing here? And yep. like, she accuses her of kidnapping, tax evasion, fraud. And, you know, Lottie doesn't even really respond to those things. She just, like, seems to get a headache. And then she's like, can you stay? And Misty seems so, like, blown away by that concept that she's like, yeah, okay, I'll stay. It yep. was just really interesting to see this other Misty. I was like, whoa, that's a new one.
Lottie like, seemed to know so how to turn her around and manipulate her.
Yeah. Well, Lottie is like, you know, she's mm-hmm. she runs a cult. She's really good at manipulating people.
Yeah.
I love that Lottie, again, did the leave us thing. Like, she's royalty. Mm-hmm. You know, the guy's standing there and she's like, leave us. And he just does. No question.
Yeah.
Really, really fun scene. I really liked it. And then, you know, Lottie's like, we didn't kidnap Natalie. We saved her. She tried to kill herself. And Misty goes, I don't believe that. You two aren't even friends.
I know. Because
at the end of the day, that's what Misty really cares about, is that she thinks Natalie is her friend.
Yeah.
She doesn't have anybody. She seemed to enjoy the cult a little too much after she got in.
Yes.
Like, she's like, oh, we're like celebrities here and the food is great.
The food is great.
Nobody smells that bad. And
if,
like,
if you're all finished crying, I can tell you some stories.
Yeah, she was yeah. so happy to be like sort of getting attention from everybody. Mm-hmm. The whole thing was really funny.
Yeah.
I liked her drum playing in that. Oh my gosh, in that yes. part.
Yeah. It was so disaffected. Like,
yeah.
What of?
Yeah.
And the crying, I don't know. I mean, I've never been in like a circle of support like that when I was trying to deal with something that I had grief about, but it kind of did look good. Like, I was like, that would be kind of nice to have people be like, we support you while I, you know, just let it all out. Mm-hmm, kind of nice.
Probably yeah. better I don't than know if you need swallowing the drumming. Everything, which yeah. is what we usually do.
Yeah. Just mash it down. Just mash it. I called that moment at the end when they're all lined up there and they see Lottie. I called it the Avengers mm-hmm. Assemble moment.
Yeah,
it
reminded
me so much of yep. the part in Endgame when Captain finally says the line. Cap finally says the line, and then it's like that makes Lottie kind of Thanos. I don't know.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
I don't know. I think I buy that. I think I buy mm-hmm. Lottie as Thanos.
Yeah.
Maybe.
If anybody was. Her up. Yeah.
It's her. Yeah.
Yeah. But I think that's all I had on Misty joining the cult. And she very well knows that Walter's not gone from her life, right? He's still texting her.
Uh-huh. And she wants to know what those texts say.
I want to know what they say.
Yeah, I bet it's like, are you okay? Are you still sitting by the side of the road? Did you get killed? Are you in a ditch?
Maybe he's going to ping her location.
Yeah, he probably has his ways. And he knows that she probably would go to the cult, right? Mm-hmm. Like, who wouldn't? It seems pretty clear. I can't wait for him to come back. I just really like his character. He's a lot of fun.
Another thing that I thought was interesting that Misty reveals is that she, I mean, if we take what she says for the truth, she said she's never been through a breakup.
I don't think she's ever had a relationship.
I don't think she has. Mm-hmm. I think that whoever crossed her, she took out, probably. Mm-hmm. So why? Mm-hmm. Why not?
I mean, the closest thing we've seen for her as a breakup is Crystal, right? When Crystal was like, mm-hmm. I'm not your friend, you're a psychopath.
Yep. And that didn't go well.
No. It definitely didn't end well for Crystal.
Mm-hmm.
Have you heard about the 2018 study that showed half of prenatal vitamins tested had unacceptable levels of heavy metals? No? Well, now you have. I'm Kat, mother of three and founder of Ritual, the company making traceability the new standard in the supplement industry. I remember staring at my prenatal vitamins and finding all these things I was trying to avoid. High amounts of heavy metals, synthetic colorants, and unnecessary ingredients. So, at 4 months pregnant, I quit my job and started Ritual because I believe that all women deserve to know what they're putting in their bodies and why. I'm so proud of our prenatal vitamin. The ingredients are 100% traceable. It's third-party tested for microbes and heavy metals, and recently received the Purity Award from the Clean Label Project. You see, we trace like a mother because, let's be honest, no one cares quite like a mother. But don't just take my word for it. Trace for yourself with 25% off at ritual.com/podcast.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to... Has anyone seen the bride and groom?
Sorry, we're here. We were getting lucky in the limo and we lost track of time.
No, Lucky Land Casino, with cash prizes that add up quicker than a guest registry.
In that case, I pronounce you lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Daily bonuses are waiting. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Hello, it is Ryan, and we could all use an extra bright spot in our day, couldn't we? Just to make up for things like sitting in traffic, doing the dishes, counting your steps, you know, all the mundane stuff. That is why I'm such a big fan of Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. That should brighten your day a little. Actually, a lot. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com. That's ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
So I'm going to talk about Van and Ty. Excellent. I am fascinated with these two. I just think Lauren Ambrose is just so perfect. It's like you don't question it at all. She embodies Van. Love it. And I think Ty is the person that I don't, adult Ty is the person that I don't like. And almost to the point where it makes me less interested in her story because she's so unlikable. But she is like a very different version of Ty when she's with Van. Like, she's lighter. I like her more. There's more depth to her. And I really like the two of them. You can see they have chemistry. And you can see they still care about each other. They don't seem to miss a beat with that. And yeah. I just...
Well, she's finally being honest.
Yeah. Right?
I have a feeling her entire life with Simone and Sammy is all repressing the bad stuff constantly.
And it's all just the exterior, shiny, glossy surface. Mm-hmm. And there's nothing tied, I guess, between her and Van. But it makes me really curious, like, what happened between the two of them, because obviously they were together when they came home from the wilderness for a while. And it seems like, if I had to guess, it seems like Ty was the one who left the relationship.
That's the sense I got from how Van was like, you're married, Ty. There is no us.
Right. But I'm really curious what happens with them. And, like, on the one hand, I think Ty is just a shit person because her wife is laying in a hospital bed and we don't know where Sammy is. And she's just going on with her, you know, this whole thing. But at the same time, I can't stop watching. Like, I really like this arc with Ty much better than I liked her other arcs before. So I'm really curious to see what happens. And I love Van. I just love her. Like, I love her, you know, in 1996. And I love adult Van, too, from the limited pieces that we've seen. She's just so great, you know. And you can just, like, tell she's a good person. I mean, I know they did bad things. But she seems so much like young Ty. Young Van. Yeah.
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 I think she's tried to stay in the past, kind of, or live the past that they thought that they were going to have, which is, you know, a happy life. And I mean, she even admitted it.
Yeah.
And I think that I still think that Thaisa coming back to reality and back to the real world, she tried to go back to being Ty, which is, you know, kind of closeted. And that meant that being with Van was no longer an option. But yet she seems really comfortable in the present day with Simone when she's not having these, you know, issues that she's having, the personality issues, the sleepwalking. Which it isn't sleepwalk. It's just some thing that I think sleepwalking is like a symptom of it. It's not.
Yeah, what she's it's just doing. One aspect.
Yeah,
of what's happening.
Yep.
So that morning, you know, Van is sitting at her desk, and when Ty walks in the room, is playing "Your Woman" by Whitetown, which seems retroactively to have been written specifically for Ty and Van. The opening lyrics are, "Just tell me what you've got to say to me. I've been waiting for so long to hear the truth. It comes as no surprise at all, you see. So cut the crap and tell me that we're through. Now I know your heart, I know your mind. You don't even know you're being unkind. So much for all your highbrow Marxist ways. Just use me up and then you walk away. Boy, you can't play me that way." And the "you can't play me that way" line was perfectly sandwiched in between. There were two comments where Ty and Van were talking about what Dark Ty said. And it was right after Van lies to Ty and says, "And you tried to kiss me." And then the lyric goes, "How could you play me this way?" And then Ty's like, "Oh, I'm so sorry." And I'm like, I love that she lied about it. It's like the one sort of, like, she didn't want to admit that the kiss actually happened at all. It's really just interesting to me. I feel like there's a wrinkle or a layer there that we're going to get more of later. Also, Ty had some more fun movie posters in the background. We had Scream, Airplane, which shows like an airplane all fucked up. And I was like, I don't know if I would ever want to see an airplane again if I had been through that.
Right.
And Footloose, yeah. Which I think... is just sort of quintessentially 80s and retro, but also describes how Van is trying to live, right? Mm-hmm. Just sort of like unattached.
Yeah, I would agree. I think Van still seems kind of chill to me. Like, she's not making a big deal out of the fact that she's having trouble paying her bills. She's just staying really even about things. Whereas Ty has been so up and down and erratic because of what she's dealing with, I think Van is kind of this calming force.
I was wondering if Van specifically put that song on. Like, she's like, "Oh, Ty's getting up. I'm going to play 'I Could Never Be Your Woman,' so she gets the point." Like, I don't know.
Probably. I don't think anything's an accident.
No.
I don't blame her. I love that song, too. I remember when it came out. It's just, yeah, it's really good. It's catchy. It's very catchy. It gets in your head. And
yeah, it's a good workout song. It's a good dance song.
Yep. All right, Daphne.
Okay, so I want to talk a little bit about And we talked about this a little bit when we talked about Lottie. With my first point, I kind of want to talk about Lottie and her visit to the therapist and their discussion, which, whether or not this is real or not, has been a topic for discussion for us on this podcast. We see that Lottie asked Misty to stay, and then Lottie goes back to the therapist about her visions. And she is starting to feel like, you know, the people are being drawn to her. And she's, and her therapist talks about, well, it's not uncommon for people who, you know, have this type of psychosis or issues to be fearful that it might be coming back into their life. And Lottie's whole thing is that she's not worrying if she's sick or ill. She's worried that she's never been ill, and her whole life has been focused on trying to not be sick when she may not have been sick in the first place. Which we've talked about a little bit, because I know we've talked about her parents always medicating her, wanting to suppress whatever it is that was going on, and wanting to do that. But she really says some interesting things during this session where she thinks that they're all being brought back to her to show her that it was real and she wasn't the only one that felt it out there, that it was everybody and it was a part of them, and it's the power of the place they were in, the god of that place, that they did terrible things in its name, and she thought when they were rescued that it was left there, but now she believes it's been brought back with them.
I didn't think the therapist was real.
I'm so suspicious. See her this time.
Like, no, we didn't.
Yeah.
No. But Lottie is obviously talking through some things mm-hmm. with mm-hmm. someone or not someone.
Mm-hmm.
I got more fear from her in this visit with the therapist, whether real or not. I got a little bit more fear from her. I think she's afraid that she's not sick, and she's afraid that she's sick. She's not sure how she feels about any of it. Because being validated that you've never been sick, and even if you didn't think that you were, is wonderful, but it's also like, but I've been mistreated this entire time this way.
She's and empowered, now, too.
Yeah.
She thinks all of, just like she did out in the wilderness, she thinks all these things are a sign that she's right and that she's mm-hmm. magical and special. And maybe she is. I don't know. But, like, it empowers her. And it is scary because I think she's dangerous.
She's very dangerous.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think that she has multiple personalities or personas like Thaisa. But I think that she definitely has a dark, almost evil side to her that we haven't seen come out yet.
Well, and she's also obviously having hallucinations, and I fear that the therapist could be a hallucination as well.
Yeah.
Yeah.
If it is supernatural, the therapist is like a manifestation of it.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
Like, we still don't know if it's a supernatural show or a trauma show.
So, or is the supernatural causing
the trauma.
The hallucinate.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. What?
I do think the six of them together, I'm trying to think, okay, we have three episodes left. The six of them are together at the cult. Mm-hmm. What's going to happen? And it almost feels like it is going to dive deeper into the supernatural. But again, every time I try to predict this show, I'm very, very wrong. So who knows?
That's what makes it so much fun.
Yes.
Yeah. I'm not sure. I think I go back and forth on thinking, Lottie, is she good or evil? And I don't think it's that simple when it comes to her.
I agree.
I think that she may have good intentions and she may have good inside her, but I also think that there's this dark place that we haven't seen a lot of yet, but we're starting to see little pieces of.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And I want to connect the dots on that before I make a determination.
I still think, like, in the 1996 timeline and in the current timeline, we haven't seen her do anything terrible. Like,
no.
Her treatment of the culties is a little questionable.
Yeah.
But we haven't seen her do anything terrible. I mean, it seems like she's doing those things, you know, because she is trying to help them. And back in the 1996 timeline, also, she seems like she's trying to help. Like, mm-hmm. I would think, you know, having this weird ritual during the childbirth when you already know Shauna's uncomfortable with all of that is not going to help things. But I do think it comes from a place of wanting to help.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think it also served a really good purpose of giving a bunch of people in the room something to do
mm-hmm.
because they were all standing around staring at Shauna, making Shauna more nervous and afraid. Mm-hmm. So at least it, like, occupied, like, 5 or 6 of them.
Yeah.
Imagine being 17 and people that you like and people you don't like are all in the room while you're giving birth to a baby.
Mm-hmm. Oh, my God.
I mean,
I gave birth in a hospital at 24 with a supportive partner, and I still don't recommend.
Yeah. It's terrifying. I mean, the thought of the whole thing, I just...
Yeah.
You know, and Shauna's in so much pain and she's just losing it.
Yeah.
And no one seems to be able to help her. And then she's got people praying in the background, the wilderness. And just seems a lot for her to have to deal with.
And I'm sure we're going to talk about this, but like the people that got put in front of her and then wouldn't even try to help. Like
coach.
Yeah, I'm sure she was like, I'm just going to die. Like, this is it. Yep. I'm going to die.
Yeah.
No one can help me. And they're all just, I'm just going to die.
Yeah. Very
people who were really rational were Akila, Nat, and Ty.
Yeah.
And Misty kind of pulled it together at the end. It. Yeah.
Yeah. She really
did. Lottie went in and got her together.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, she just went in and said, you know, because Misty had these plans of this whole thing with Crystal. And I think that's part of why Misty lost it for a little bit.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Is it tied into Crystal and the loss of Crystal for her? And so she just kind of was distraught. And then Lottie helped drain it all in for her. And she was able to come back. And she was old Misty, like sharp as a tack and ready to go.
Yeah. Yeah, she was really on top of it then. Like, when she took over and then she was like, there's just a little bit left, Shauna, and then you're going to get to meet your baby. Like, that was the right way to deal with Shauna.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. I agree. Even though it didn't end well and we haven't really talked about it yet.
Yeah, I'm not.
I did think it was interesting they showed us Coach Ben teaching health class.
Yeah, that was funny.
There was a reason for that.
Yeah. Yep. I'll go ahead with my next point and talk about the flashback since we're bringing that up. I thought it was great. I love that this show does so many flashbacks, and I really loved it. We saw Jeff, Shauna, Randy, Ty, Van, Coach. Coach is teaching a reproductive video. Misty is the only one paying attention. And I thought Coach seems just as unable to control his students in the classroom as he is in the wilderness. Like, he couldn't even bring himself to actually look at the video.
Yeah. And when Shauna just got up and walked out of the room.
Yep.
He was like, Yeah.
Yeah. Like, Shauna just walks out of the class. That, you know, you got Randy harassing the girls. Eating his banana that he's supposed to use to demonstrate how to put on a condom. Like, it's a free-for-all. And I feel like that's probably Coach. Like, he's probably not the best coach. I thought that Jeff was passing Shauna cryptic notes. And I kind of got the impression that this was his wanting to be more involved with her mm-hmm. and her rejecting him.
Yeah.
Which I thought was an interesting dynamic because up until then we had kind of seen Shauna as the initiator.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
But he, you know, when he was like, I thought we weren't doing this anymore, I think she probably was constantly push-pull with him.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, let's hook up. No, you should go back to Jackie. Don't tell her. Like, oh, right. And then, oh, we're alone again. Let's, you know.
And we don't really know the timing of that. Mm-hmm. Like, was that before? It was probably before the game, right? Because the game was the night before they left.
Yeah, and that big
when they
party.
Went to the party and yeah. So I thought that was really interesting. Did they use a different actor for Jeff?
I couldn't tell. We didn't really see his face very well.
I don't like him.
But I remember thinking the young Jeff didn't look like adult Jeff. It's like the one casting.
Yeah.
Well, also young Randy doesn't look like adult Randy.
No, he doesn't. But I had to give it up to Van.
Yeah.
Because Randy was acting so obnoxious. And she just looked at him and said, if these are really too small for you, then you should really see a doctor about that thing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm like, yes, thank you.
And I loved that whole scene cut straight back to Shauna giving birth. And I don't remember what the song was, but I'm sure you know, Penny. And I thought it was great. Loved it.
I thought it was interesting choice of song.
What was it?
Yeah. It's called Song 2. By Blur. It's a sarcastic song. It's a song about how it's like mostly the lyrics are kind of word salad because it was intentionally written to not make sense because their point was like, you know, the audience only cares if it's catchy and they don't understand real art and they'll like this song even though it doesn't mean anything.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a lot of covers of it out there, including like Rockabye Baby lullaby versions, which I thought was hilarious.
Yeah.
It does have a kicking like rhythm to it. And I mean, it's like on all these workout mixes when you Google it, like all these people use it for that. It came out in 1997. I think that point about like people just care about how catchy the tune is was much better made by Blues Traveler in 1994 with the song Hook. And if you want to hear a really good explanation of what Hook is about, listen to episode 10 of the Murder Magnets podcast. Jason does a whole thing about it. Because that episode was called The Hook, and that song was a major part of the episode. I thought I would put my expensive education to use and talk about legal stuff. Since Shauna and Jeff and Callie don't seem to know much of anything accurate about criminal processes.
And they didn't even follow the cookie.
No.
No.
Never talk to the police. Always get a lawyer. I was not, I'm not a criminal lawyer. I had never practiced criminal law. So I reached out to a friend who was a public defender in both Brooklyn and then Worcester, Massachusetts. Laura Gittleson. Hey, Laura, thank you. She just successfully ran for school board in her town of Arlington, Massachusetts. So we're really proud of her. So the deal is that whatever Callie said to Jay is hearsay and would not be admissible in a court of law unless they could meet some of the hearsay exceptions, and they're really hard to meet. It has to basically be a deathbed confession, a statement that in it of itself is a crime. Like if somebody says to someone else, like, I'm gonna kill you, that's a crime. And so that's not hearsay because the statement itself is the crime. But if somebody says, like, yeah, I killed somebody, and then they never say anything else about it, like, that would be hearsay. And you'd have to have some kind of other evidence. Everything they found in the motel room is not admissible. They had no constitutional reason to go into the motel room. The reasons that you could go in without a warrant would be probable cause, and exigent circumstances, like you think the evidence is going to get thrown away or something's going to happen to it, when in reality, they could have like just stood by the door of the motel and like one cop goes and tries to get a warrant and the other one like makes sure the evidence doesn't get tampered with. That's what would happen in a, you know, legit system. Callie accusing Jay of statutory rape, basically, what that effectively does is make it so Matt can't testify if there's an eventual trial, because his credibility will be completely ruined by the accusation, even if it's false, assuming she doesn't like backpedal on it. This is a very often misunderstood and inaccurate understanding of the law. Lying to the police is not a crime in any way, shape, or form unless you are under oath. So Callie could sit in that room and be like, yeah, I went to Mars and we killed a bunch of people there too. And like, all that doesn't matter. You can lie to the police all you want. It's not a crime. You don't have to answer their questions unless you want to. You can stay silent. You can get a lawyer. Even if you're not arrested, if you're just like asked to come in as like a courtesy, which seems to be what was going on here, you don't have to answer any of their questions.
Do you have to go if the police say, we need you to come down to answer some questions, do you have to go?
No, you don't.
They have to get a subpoena or a warrant or
yeah. Yeah. And like if they come to your house and they're like, oh, I want to ask you some questions, you do not have to let them in.
Right.
You don't have to talk to them. You can say, here's the phone number for my lawyer. If you have any questions for me, you have to go through my lawyer. Or I'm going to get a lawyer and, you know, then you can talk to my lawyer. Don't let the police in your house, because anything that they can see in plain view is fair game.
And then that can give them more probable cause to dig deeper.
Exactly. Yeah. And let's say that they're at your house because they suspect you of being involved in the murder of a local artist. But when they're in the house, they see drug paraphernalia. Well, nothing stopping them from going down that, you know, rabbit hole and chasing that. And then they'll get more information from that, and they'll get your bank records and all your phone records. Yeah. They can find everything. So just don't let them in the house. Unless they have a warrant, then you pretty much have to. Read the cookie. Mm-hmm. Everybody read the cookie. And then one of my favorite parts of that whole scene was when Callie is sitting in the room with Kevin and she's not talking. And then she starts crying and she's like, I just feel so stupid. And he like pushes the tissue box towards her. And then she's like, I was a virgin and he said he loved me. And then he takes the tissue box away.
Yep.
It was like so funny.
When Callie first went in to talk to Kevin, all I could think is, and this is when we're going to determine if Callie is really Shauna's daughter. Yeah. I mean, we know she is, but we should get to see her come out, you know, to really shine. And I think she did.
Yeah.
I actually don't dislike Callie anymore.
I'm totally on board with her too. Yeah.
I think her and her mom are like a dynamic duo. They're great together.
Yeah.
I do worry about poor Jeff.
Yeah,
because
he seems a little left behind. Out.
Like, they're both so much smarter than he is. And they're so alike that now that they're aligned, they're like this amazing team, or they can be. They have this potential. Mm-hmm. And like, Jeff is never going to be able to keep up.
No.
But they love him, so it's okay.
They do.
He's sweet.
Yeah.
And when Shauna's like, oh, we have to go down to the police station and answer some questions, Jeff's like, all right, babe, I got your back. Like, he is such a mensch. Like, he is ready to be there for his family.
Yeah.
And then him listening to Fuck the Police in the parking lot of the police station was so funny.
I feel he is
exactly the kind of suburban white guy that listened to gangster rap. Like, I know this guy. Mm-hmm. I've met him so many times.
I think probably by the time this show ends, we're going to have like maybe a 12 song Jeff
ode to Jeff
playlist.
Yeah. Papa Roach, NWA.
Yeah. Yeah. I liked how that tied in, and he was into it.
Yeah.
Like, he just, yeah. Because he's sitting in the car waiting to find out. And then when Shauna tells him what she told him, he's just, I don't know how much it's more like you're he out can of control. Take.
I am really worried about you. You are, like, out of control, Shauna.
Yeah, you think?
I loved that. He finally, like, lost it at her. And I don't understand the math that was like, Shauna, you're acting completely out of control. You should go with your friends who we know are super fucked up and hang out with them now. Like, I don't get how he got from A to B.
Yeah, that seemed a little disingenuous. But yeah. I was thinking maybe just get her out of town so she can't. Like,
although her getting out of town is super suspicious, right? Like, she left the state.
Right.
Like, the cops are going to be like, what do you mean she's not here? Like,
right.
She could drive really fast, though, too.
Yeah.
Yeah, she beat...
Almost teleporting.
I don't know how she knew where to go, because Todd didn't tell Jeff, like, where it was or what it was called, and then she clearly didn't call Ty back to get directions, because Ty was, like, surprised to see the van there.
Mm-hmm.
Right? She was like, hey, that's Shauna. So how did she get the address? I guess we don't care. Doesn't really matter.
They said it was... I think Misty described off where it was, 19, but it seemed vague, yeah.
Yeah, and, like, there was no name or, like, which, like, I guess they knew the town, but
maybe
still.
They stopped at that restaurant.
Everybody stopped there and was like, where are the purple people? Although, I don't know if anyone else knows about the purple people either, right? Like, Ty and Van and Shauna wouldn't know about the purple people.
Right. Not until they got there and saw everyone wearing purple.
Yeah.
And Misty in that amazing coat. I want that coat. So awesome.
Misty is, she is prepared for whatever comes her way.
Yeah.
Always.
She's a chameleon. I bet she managed to get some weapons past the dude with the gold bowl.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. I don't know what his name was.
I don't know either.
I'm surprised she didn't grab the phone back and look at it because... She's Misty fucking Quigley.
Yeah.
She can do what she wants.
She was still pretending to be sweet to him, though, right? Like, she was, like, playing a game on him where she's like, okay. And she didn't show her true self until Lottie showed up.
Yeah.
She was definitely being Misty the actress.
Yeah.
As usual. Because she's a kind of a chameleon. She can do just about anything.
Yeah. And she has many facets. The syringe and the vial, I really want to know what that vial had in it. Like, was that chloroform? Was that some kind of, like,
to knock somebody
sedative?
Out. You never know when you're
like,
going to need
oxy,
that.
Or, like, ketamine? Like, what was in there?
It's probably a homemade.
Ricin? Yeah. Like, that's how she killed Jessica, was ricin.
It's crazy, though, if you think about it, right?
Everything about Misty is crazy, but yeah.
It is. That also makes me think she's carrying that around with her, but it's no crazier than Shauna having that gun in the car.
Yeah.
I mean,
I wonder if Jeff got the gun out of the car before Shauna went to the wellness center.
No, I would say no.
Yeah, she took that with her.
Because they showed that for a reason. That's going to come back to us.
Yeah.
Yeah.
In a little bit.
One of the takeaways from the scenes at the police station with Callie and Shauna was Shauna talking about everything she's had been through, and she was trying to convince them of her version of the events, but I think she said some truths. She said that she didn't want to have a baby, that she did it to hang on to her marriage, and that after everything she had been through, she didn't think she could love the baby. But that she ended up loving Jeff and Callie. And I thought that was a truth that Shauna was talking about. That seemed real because I can't, as damaged as Shauna has been up until this point, young Shauna, I can't imagine the damage that all of this has done. And I think that's what we're seeing. And then for her to try to have another child, I would think that would be really hard.
Yeah.
I agree with you. I think there were a lot of truths in that. And then she says, you know, I just wanted to feel young for a minute. And that seems absolutely true. And she also wanted to be the young Shauna who didn't have trauma, right? She didn't want Adam to know about everything that happened to her because she wanted to, like, be completely carefree for once.
The person she never got to be.
I have a friend who had a brain tumor as a child and doesn't like to tell people about it. Even though she's totally fine now, she has found that when she tells people, they treat her differently and they look at her differently. And suddenly they're like, oh, are you delicate? Are you okay? Like, and she's like, I just would rather people don't know about it because I just want to be who I am and not be like the brain tumor girl. And I think it's a little bit like that for all of the Yellow Jackets, right? Which makes me surprised that none of them changed their names. But
and that they like, still all live of them, in the same area for the most part.
Yeah. Would like to be, you know, who they are and not a Yellow Jacket all the time.
Yep, I agree with that.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to... Has anyone seen the bride and groom?
Sorry, sorry, we're here. We were getting lucky in the limo and we lost track of time.
No, Lucky Land Casino, with cash prizes that add up quicker than a guest registry.
In that case, I pronounce you lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Daily bonuses are waiting. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Lucky Land Casino, asking people, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
Lucky? In line at the deli, I guess?
Aha, in my dentist's office. More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car, before my kid's PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
All right. Daphne, back to you.
Yeah. So all I have left on my list, because we've talked about so much, there, I have a couple of things about what I'm calling the dream state, which is Shauna's, you know, when she passed out. At one point, she passes out while trying to push and listening to everyone say, we hear the wilderness and it hears us. And then Ty starts chanting and then Shauna just, you know, I think she said no, but it was just, yeah, it was real rough. There were just things that we saw in that dream, like Lottie feeding him. He needs to feed. We talked about that. And then Shauna's very upset and Lottie says, you'll understand soon enough. So, I mean, what does that mean? You'll understand soon enough. I mean, it just makes me think this, the baby, which didn't live, is it some sort of sacrifice? Not, they didn't kill the baby. The baby just, as far as we know, was either born dead or passed away very quickly after.
I got the feeling the baby was born deceased.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Which
I think it's called
you...
placental abruption, what happened to Shauna, where the placenta comes out when it, like before it should, and the baby.
I think it's actually placenta previa.
Oh. You would know. I would not.
Yeah.
I mean, it's not my specialty, but I did look it up, and I think placental abruption is like when the placenta pulls away and it can be really dangerous. I had a partial placenta abruption with Cassie, but it was partial and it like healed right away because it was just a teeny bit. But of course, like I was 38 weeks pregnant and had bright red blood, so very scary. But was fine. But if you get a full placenta abruption, you can just bleed out completely. Like moms die from that today. A placenta previa is when the placenta partially or totally covers the cervix, the outlet for the uterus. And I think that's why I thought it was a previa, because of the fact that it came out first. Which, even with a previa, is extremely rare, but it has happened. And it's not good. It's like immediate surgery for mom and baby to
survive. Doesn't the baby, like, suffocate at that? Is that what kills it?
It can be, depending, mm-hmm. you know, it just depends. Like, sometimes, like, if the placenta dies, then that can impact the oxygen that the baby can get. I mean, it all depends on, like, when did that happen? If that happened an hour ago, you're in trouble. Mm-hmm. If it happened, you know, a minute ago, you can get things going. I mean, in a obstetrics delivery, typically they can get a baby out in 60 seconds. Like, it's really fast because they have to, you know. And mm-hmm. I remember when I had my placental abruption, you know, I was young. I knew nothing. I was not a nurse. And I asked my doctor and she's like, oh, don't worry about that. Like, I can have that baby out in like this if we need to, but we're okay right now. So, but that's what I thought it was, but definitely can be really serious and almost absolutely would need a C-section right away. Mm. And mom will bleed a lot and can, you know, especially can die. In the wilderness, I mean, she don't can, have a blood transfusion, very easily could bleed out.
Yeah. And they were afraid when Shauna does wake up, they're afraid. You know, Ty even says, we thought we lost you.
They said she had bled a lot, yeah.
Yeah. And we saw that, you know, she was bleeding. We saw the placenta. And I did research, too, because I wanted to know, when does the, you know, I've not had kids, so it's not something that's on top of my mind. So I looked it up, and a lot of the places that I went to look, it comes out after, it comes mm-hmm. out after, it comes out after. So this was not good.
Yeah, as a mom, like, I had a C-section, but if you're having a vaginal delivery, you actually have to deliver the placenta and you'll get contractions and you have to deliver it. And I mean, certainly there's ways for them to intervene, but generally they don't because they have a better outcome if they let it happen, you know, the way it's supposed to happen. Yeah.
I loved in this episode, Natalie in particular was incredibly supportive of Shauna mm-hmm. throughout the whole process. You know, women have been having babies. You can do this, you know, just really being super supportive and just being right there beside her.
Yep.
I feel like Thaisa and Natalie were a tag team really trying to be as supportive of her as they could be.
I agree.
Yeah. And it's telling that in Shauna's dream, the only person she interacted with positively was Nat, right? Mm-hmm. Nat was trying to bring her tea.
Yeah. I just think that maybe she was having just so much of that dream, other than bonding with the baby, seemed to be she wanted a moment alone. She mm-hmm. didn't want, you know, she finally got the baby to breastfeed. Didn't want to go out. She just wanted these moments alone to talk to the baby. But I still feel like maybe a lot of this, you know, dream state that she was in was really about her being worried Lottie was going to take the baby because Lottie had just been talking to the baby and just the way that she had acted, especially over the last couple of episodes that we've seen.
Yeah. And she kept calling it our baby. And
yeah.
And Shauna was feeling more and more sort of paranoid about it. Mm-hmm. Like, Lottie couldn't really take the, like, where would she go with it? The baby's always going to be in the cabin.
She couldn't. Right.
But I can understand, you know, if you're scared and alone and in the wilderness and starving, like, all of that stuff would be preying on your mind, and of course you would dream about it.
The first time you watched it, did you think it was a dream, or did you think it was real?
I thought it was real.
Me too.
I thought it was real until she walked out of the room.
Yeah.
The humming
That's when mm-hmm. I knew it was a dream. I'm like, there's no way they would do this. There's no way that the writers would do this.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And that scene had all kinds of elements to it that were nightmarish, right? Like, there's no way that the other Yellow Jackets, no matter how feral and wild they were, would have, like, torn the baby apart in front of the fire.
Exactly. And,
like, it just was very horror movie.
I don't see, given how upset Coach Ben was about the situation with Jackie, I don't see him eating a baby.
No.
I don't. And when I saw the blood on his face, it's like, yeah, this has to be a dream. There's no way. Because I don't see him doing it at this point anyway.
But I didn't at that point think it was a dream within a dream. Like, I thought that the eating the baby scene was a dream, but right. I still thought the baby had lived. Like, it wasn't until she woke up again that I was like, oh, all of it was a dream.
Yeah, me too.
Yeah, they really spun quite a web with this one.
Yeah. First, I was angry about it, but then one second watch, I really thought it was very nicely done. And I think I never thought the baby was going to live, you know, like through the wilderness. I always thought the baby was doomed. And I think if the baby had to die, that was the best way for it to happen. Like, you know, I do think this show kind of skirts what people will tolerate, you know? I mean, as we know, you know, Walking Dead season 7 and 8 really reached the line of what people would tolerate. And a lot of people stopped watching because of that. And I feel like this show really skirts that line as well. And I think that was probably, besides the eating the baby hallucination, I do think this was probably the best way to handle the situation.
Yeah. Yeah. I think they do a good job of going just to the edge.
Yeah.
And not crossing. It's like they know the people that are watching and have a good idea of what they are going to handle. And they're not going to cross the line because they definitely don't want to lose viewers. This is a really hot show that has a lot of twists and turns, and they're not going to want to push anyone away.
And I think they love it because it goes up to that line. Like, it's different. Yeah. It's unique. It goes to places that most shows don't go. So I think that's part of why we love it. I worry a little bit about the reaction from the public with this next
one. Yeah, it'll be interesting to see when this airs or drops or whatever we call it. I think they also make really, really careful and wise choices about what to show and what to have implied or slightly off screen.
Yes, I agree.
They're really, really smart about it.
Yeah. Unfortunately, we know we have a writer's strike going on right now, and I guess they'd only really been in the writer's room for a day.
Oh, wow.
Working on this, and then boom.
Yep.
So.
Hopefully it won't last too long.
I would hope that with
movies
never really coming back fully, that they would realize the need for great television and, you know, so I would hope it wouldn't be this long protracted thing, but I don't know.
I know. Yeah.
You would think they would have learned from the last one, maybe. I don't know.
Some great TV shows lost out. I mean, we lost out on getting some great, like, second seasons of TV shows because the networks just canceled shows right.
Yep.
And left. And that was just so disappointing.
I agree.
Yeah.
Yeah. The only other thing I want to mention from that part or that scene is actually when Shauna's giving, when Akilah's trying to help Shauna, she talks to the little mouse and she's named it Nugget. And I'm so nervous for that mouse.
I'm not getting attached.
That mouse is going to be Stew.
There's not enough on that mouse for anything.
He's in a moose boosh.
Yeah, but they're going to find out that she has him, and I don't think that's going to go well for anyone.
No, probably not. So, Wendy, what's next?
I just have more of talk about this whole Shauna's birth scene. I was really surprised that we were getting it in episode 6. I really think that while I've been waiting for this moment since the first time we found out Shauna was pregnant, I really thought it would be later. I thought it would be the finale of this season or maybe even into the next season. So, like, I was super excited that we were there already. I think that I really love the way the show has been fleshing out Akila more. I really like her. I like the actress. I think she's doing a really great job. I like that they're making her a focus. I don't know. I get nervous for all the red shirt girls as well. But she really seemed to be the person that just kind of stepped up into it and obviously was out of her element and scared, but still like trying to help. She said, I think previously, that her sister had just had a baby before she left. So I think her nephew was 4 months old when she left. So she has some familiarity with the baby. I thought that was really great. I love Ty supporting Shauna like she had promised to. Natalie drags Coach over to help and it doesn't go well. And then Coach has another weird hallucination. You know, and I just not sure what they're trying to show us with that. I mean, I guess it's that he just wants to be somewhere else and he's just imagining where would I be if I hadn't got on that fucking plane.
I noticed in this one, though, it's the cabin.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
In his hallucination, antlers. He's in the cabin, except it's nice. Yeah. That freaked me
out. I wonder if you guys picked up on that, too.
It was snowing outside.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. That was the first thing. I'm like, wait a minute. This looks really familiar, except it's bright and happy.
I know what we didn't talk about. When Shauna first, when the dream first starts, and somebody says, Shauna, that's Jackie's voice.
Oh, it is?
Yes.
Oh.
Yes. Picked it up on the second watch. That is Jackie's
should have been
voice.
Our first indication that something was wrong.
Yes. Yeah. I didn't catch that. There was a moment when she's like looking at the faces around her and I was like, oh, is she about to see Dead Cabin Guy and Laura Lee and Jackie? Like, is she going to have a vision of all the dead people?
It's not real obvious either, but I played it back and I'm like, oh, that's Jackie's voice. Yeah.
Mm, nice.
Travis was crying. And Travis is the one who started with all the Lottie Woo Woo bullshit during the birth.
Yeah, he got the skull down.
Oh,
and,
my God. Yeah.
Bled on it. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And even Lottie said to him at that point, the wilderness recognizes your sacrifice and so do I.
Yeah.
Yeah. And the two of them had a vibe.
Yes.
I was like, is that a sexual vibe or like
it certainly seems like it.
Preacher acolyte vibe. Mm-hmm. It's hard to tell.
Yeah, I definitely noticed they had chemistry between the two of them. I think that's it. I just think that like on first watch, I was pretty shattered by the end of it, like realizing that the baby had died because I fully believed that. Well, maybe the baby does live, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, at least Shauna got a happy moment with her baby, but no.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like her immediate reaction of like sort of laughing and putting her finger in the baby's hand. And it was so real. Mm-hmm. I was like, that's that's what it would be like. And oh, God. And then at the end when she's like, why can't you hear him? Really broke my heart.
And on second watch, it was, like, so obvious to me. Like, the baby's big. So, like, it's, like, this big, robust, healthy baby boy, which is not what would happen when you've been starving. And, it on second watch, it seemed obvious to me. But I guess on first watch, I wanted to believe it.
Yeah.
I know.
Mm-hmm.
I think we all wanted something positive because they've dealt with such tragedy and trauma out there.
Yep.
But, I mean, Shauna was not, I mean, I don't know how she could have breastfed the baby.
Right, like, if you're starving. Yeah.
She's starving.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I don't know. I don't think it's possible.
All right. Anybody have anything else?
I had a point about Nat, adult Nat.
Okay.
She's changed a lot since she's been at the compound, and it's a lot of visual changes, right? She's given up the leather pants and that flowy top, and she's now wearing this like mumsy cardigan, and she's in like a weird like prairie purple skirt, lavender Birkenstocks. I was like, Natalie would never wear Birkenstocks.
No, she wouldn't.
Do they make lavender Birkenstocks?
They do this year. I saw an ad for them the other day. There's like all these pastel colors. Lisa, I think, is having an amazing effect on Nat, right? Nat keeps trying to push her away, and Lisa is like, I'm not having it. Like, you know, I don't care if you think you're poison. I don't care if you think you're going to hurt me. Like, everybody gets hurt, and that's just life. And Nat says a thing that I think is also very true. We saw so much. We did so much fucked up shit out there, and maybe it was to survive, but I don't think we deserve to. And that's like the root of her, you know, suicidal tendencies and her drug addiction.
Mm-hmm. She can't love herself. She doesn't think she's worth loving or caring about.
Yeah. And literally the only thing keeping her going was Travis. But she's much softer now. Like, even when she saw Misty, she was like, oh, what are you doing here? And what happened to that guy you were with? Like, instead of being like, fucking go away, Misty.
Exactly.
Like, she was really kind of chill about it. And then she said, you know, we're all like this, aren't we? She's a different Natalie than she was before.
She's whether that's a good thing or not. Up, I think to that budding friendship with Lisa. And I thought that was sweet, that friendship.
It's really nice. And the whole fish thing was really funny when she's like trying to kill the fish and she's like, you'll thank me later. Life is a prison. She just couldn't do it. Not even a fish. She couldn't even be mean to a fish, which was amazing.
Mm-hmm.
I like that Lisa isn't giving up. Lisa doesn't listen to what she says. You know, she tells her suffering is inevitable and only by meeting it with compassion can we truly begin to grow. And, I mean, it makes sense. And I think Natalie's in a place now that she can hear those words and be like, okay, like she can, she's listening and she actually hears them. It's not, well, I say I'm listening and it's bouncing off because I'm not really paying attention to what you're saying.
It's almost as if Lottie has created a community that is helping people.
Love and spiritual growth.
Yeah.
Yeah.
An intentional community.
I still don't like the idea of them giving up everything when they walk in. I just think that's too much control, like, for...
Yeah. It's too easy to be abused, too. Like,
it is. It is.
That is... Yeah, that's messed up. The whole money thing. And we still don't really understand, like, what happened with Travis and Travis's bank account. Like... And what Susie was talking about when, like, she was like, what have you gotten me, you know, mixed up in? Mm-hmm. Who the fuck is Lottie Matthews? Like, there's something darker happening there that we haven't seen yet.
Mm-hmm.
Whether it's by Lottie or by, like, the people around Lottie, right? Like, they may be abusing the system without her realizing it. It's entirely possible.
Yeah. Agreed.
I think Simone Kessel is one of the most beautiful women I've ever seen. I can't stop like looking at her on screen. She's mesmerizing.
Mm-hmm.
I still have trouble with her being adult Lottie because even though I think she's super talented and she's beautiful, I just don't.
It's probably the least of all of them that.
Yeah.
Yeah. I agree with
that. The casting has been spot on for me in most cases. This is the one that I'm like, huh, I don't know. It doesn't work for me. It might end up working for me, though, if we see where Lottie goes.
Like, right, in the middle times.
Yeah, in the middle. That may help. But right now, no. Not so much.
She's lacking the sort of dear, like, baby fawn quality that Lottie has.
Mm-hmm.
She's so confident, but maybe when she continues to break down a little bit, that'll come back.
Yeah. Yeah. I want it to be there. I'm not convinced at this point. Because I feel like they've knocked it out of the park with just about everyone else.
Yeah. I mean, the other Yellow Jackets, the adult and teen versions, are amazing.
They are.
Mm-hmm. I mean, yeah. Van is just...
Oh my gosh.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's magical.
It really is. Especially because that was all done after the fact.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's amazing. So I wanted to just point out a couple more of the songs that we heard, because there were a couple others. One of them was Rescue Me by Madonna. I remember when that one came out, which is basically during Coach's, I don't know, daydream. He's trying to drown out Shauna's screams, and he goes into this, you know, flashback of him with Paul, whether it's not really a flashback, it's just a daydream. That cabin, again, it looks super familiar.
Yep.
And then the other song was Pizzella by Elliot Smith.
Oh, I missed that one.
Yeah, it's during the dream where Shauna is presented with her baby and Van and Thaisa are in the car talking about being happy and the past, and Ty's asking Van if she's even trying to be happy or if she's dating. And then Van schools her on that.
My needs are met.
So, yeah, so those are the other two songs, but that's pretty much everything that I have.
One thing I did want to bring up is about the YouTube live instant reactions. Every week, Podcastica has a YouTube channel, and a rotating group of different people will come onto the YouTube channel and give an instant reaction to the episodes. It usually occurs about 10 minutes after the episode is over, so you can go get a bathroom break. On Sunday nights at 10:10 when it's actually showed on Showtime. And even if you've watched it before, it's definitely worth joining in on. It's really fun. It's live, so you just never know what rabbit holes are going to go down. And it's been really great. I log in every time, and I love throwing questions out there to whoever's doing it. It's really awesome.
It's nice to a variety of Podcastica personalities, too. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
There's so many big fans of this show. Yeah.
Yeah. Our group has, there's a lot of people.
Mm-hmm.
I kind of feel responsible for that because I wanted someone to watch it so I'd have somebody to talk about it with, and I didn't know that everyone was going to end up watching it, or almost everyone was going to end up watching it.
Here we are 27 episodes later, Daphne.
I know. It's awesome.
And our friend Alex hosts that every week, and it's really great. They do a really great job. So thank you to Alex for doing that, and thank you to everybody for joining in.
It's so much fun. Mm-hmm. I did the last two. One, I was a last-minute replacement, and then last week, because I wasn't podcasting on episode 5, I had to get it out of my system somehow. So I popped on with Alex and Sydney, and we digested it a little bit. So
it was digested. Good. Nice.
That is great.
Lucky Land Casino, asking people, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
Lucky? In line at the deli, I guess?
Aha, in my dentist's office. More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car, before my kids' PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Hey, there was one article you wanted to bring up.
Yeah, there's a lot of coverage of this all over the internet, and the, you know, specifics aren't that important, but Liv Hewson has withdrawn their submission to the Emmys for consideration in the Best Actress category as a form of statement or protest against the gendered categories for the Emmys. As you guys all know, Liv Hewson is non-binary. They go by they, them pronouns, and the Emmys have forever been best actor, best actress, and a lot of people are struggling with how to handle that in this world where we are more accepting of different genders and non-gendered people. I know Emma Darcy from House of the Dragon had a similar dilemma, and they decided to go ahead and submit for best actress, but not every non-binary actor is going to make the same decision. Mm-hmm. And personally, I've always been kind of confused by why there's gender differentiation as opposed to maybe like genre differentiation, right? Mm-hmm. Like comedy drama makes more sense to me than male female. But I do know that the Emmys originally did that because all the awards were probably going to go to men. And so it was like the women will never have a chance because everyone's just going to give the awards to the men, probably because back in the day, women's roles were like, ha ha ha, I'm pretty, rescue me. And they didn't get to do a lot of real acting. So, you know, the Emmys sort of threw them a bone by having a category. But I think we're far enough along in our evolution as a species that we can start to think about that in a different way. And I applaud.
Yeah, I think sometimes we just have to go back to the drawing board and figure out what works for us in 2023. You know?
Yeah.
Things change.
We could do that in our government too.
There's a lot of high profile non-binary actors right now. Like Bella Ramsey is another one that comes to mind.
Yeah.
That they probably don't want to be submitted in a gendered category. I don't know if they're gonna be up for an Emmy or not this year. When do the nominations come out?
She should be.
Yeah.
Yeah.
She's so good.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think we need to normalize that it's okay to go back to the table and have new discussions.
Yeah.
Because we are in an age of being more inclusive and it's time to do it.
Yep. It's weird to me how the entertainment industry can sometimes be extremely progressive and in other ways extremely conservative. And, you know, the motion picture and TV academies are incredibly conservative. And I think it's because most of the membership are like 90-year-old white dudes. But yeah, over time, that's going
to
change.
Yeah. I think like there's just a whole other way to describe. It's not even conservative or liberal. It's like they had their own set of horrible, misogynistic customs that defined anything else. It only existed in Hollywood and Tinseltown. And unfortunately, I think when everything else was like, hey, this isn't how we act in a company or a business or a store, they were still acting that way.
Yeah.
And they were immune to all of the involvement that was happening in big corporations and things like that. You know, they were still having casting couches and, you know, actors or directors that would, you know, tell their people that worked for them to go F off and scream and yell at them. And that was still considered okay because it was art. And
I think the Harvey Weinstein scandal was a really important turning point to get rid of some of those old customs is one word for it. Crimes is another. And Ronan Farrow, if you're out there listening, I love you. I would follow you into battle. I absolutely adore Ronan Farrow. And if you should read Catch and Kill, it's an amazing book. Anyway.
Yeah, and I just remember, like, there was a director or something who was caught on camera ranting at, like, Lily Tompkins. And she, like, came on and defended him. Was like, this is the way it is. This is how show business is. And I'm not saying anything bad about her because I'm sure she's just trying to survive like we all have. But, like, yeah. It's not okay. And I think we finally come to a place where we can say that's not okay.
I think this is the way it is. This is the way it's always been done are some of the worst phrases that exist in our language. And people are starting to be like, well, it doesn't have to be that way, so let's change it.
I
really believe that we are evolving as a species. It's so slow.
Yeah.
It is. It seems to take forever.
Yeah. All right. That is our show. Thanks for listening, everybody.
If you want to write in or send us a voice message, you can find all our contact information at podcastica.com.
And while you're there, be sure to check out some of our other shows. There's tons of great content on podcastica.com.
Lots and lots.
I haven't started yet, but I'm really excited for Strange Indeed's coverage of Sweet Tooth. That show is so adorable and also dark, but kind of light. Yeah. It's just a really interesting mix. And I really enjoy Strange Indeed and the way they cover things.
Yeah,
I'm excited to listen to that first episode. I watched the show episode one earlier today, and I forgot how much I love this show until I watched it. And it's like, oh my goodness, you get pulled back into that world of Gus, and you're there, like you're immersed in it.
Yeah.
I gotta get caught up.
That's great. What's the name of the character? The sort of slightly older girl with the curly hair who's like a badass?
Bayer. Yeah. Becky.
I love her.
She's fantastic.
She looks like a friend of mine too. So whenever she pops up on screen, I'm like, oh, no, that's not her.
Yeah. Alex has been really busy in addition to hosting our after shows. He's been really busy with From.
Yeah.
He and Lizzie they did the press junket. They've got a lot of content over there. And that is
TikTok.
A show. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's a show that it's really, it's like, it's really dark.
Yeah, I'm not caught up on that either, but I'm getting there. I just started from the beginning because it had been so long, and I'm on episode 3, and I'm really liking it.
Yeah.
And when I started it, I'm like, I don't think I paid any attention to this the first time I watched a couple episodes, but it's really good.
It's so good.
I'm saving it for when Yellow Jackets is over, and then I'm going to, like, just bury myself in it.
Well, if there is a writer's strike, shows. We can get caught up on everything.
Yeah. Oh, that's true. That would actually be kind of a relief. There's so much good content, and I can't possibly watch all of it.
Yeah,
I know.
Next episode, we will be doing listener feedback and news for this episode, because there was a week that was skipped, so we'll have an extra episode.
We hope that you guys check those out. There's new theories, different conversations, and news about the show. Penny always brings some interesting articles to the table for that one.
I try.
All right. That is our show.
Thanks for listening.
Buzz, 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 buzz.